All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Old Testament book of Joel. Joel. And Joel is on page 1064. What? In my Bible, yes, in my Bible. That's, whose Bible do you think I was using? All right, Joel chapter 1. Oh, that's funny. Yes, John. Yep. That's the first chapter, please. All right, let's begin, please, in reading in verse 14. Verse 14. I want you to follow along here as I read a couple of verses down to the end of the chapter. And I want to read it, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to speak on this morning. In verse 14, Joel writes, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness." Now, that's a physical description of Israel back in Joel's day. But I want you also to notice that there is a spiritual application. There is a spiritual application to what Joel has to say. Now, I want to take that 14th verse this morning, and I'm going to entitle my message, "Calling a Special Meeting." That's what Joel is crying for here. He is calling a special meeting. He says to the people, now remember, he's the prophet. When he speaks, folks listen. All right? He's the man of God, and everybody knows that he's the man of God. So when he speaks, folks listen to what he has to say. And so what's he say? Well, he says, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly." In other words, we're going to get together, we're going to meet together, and it's not going to be for fellowship. It's not going to be for hip hip hooray. It's not going to be for singing and testifying. It's not going to be a gospel sing. We're going to have a meeting, and we're all going to get our hearts right with God. Boy, wouldn't that be a good, wouldn't that be a good thing? All right, so sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning, a message I'm going to entitle, "Calling a Special Meeting." All right, let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord to help us this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you take just a moment right now, and would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart today? Take just a moment before the message, and just pray and ask the Lord to speak to your heart today. Ask God to draw you close to Him, to make you aware of your spiritual condition right now, so that you can do something about it today. Calling a special meeting. Father in heaven, thank you so much now for the Word of God. This book of Joel is an amazing book. And Father, you used him in a mighty way back in his day. And now for all these years, we've been encouraged and blessed by reading the words of his prophecy and realizing that indeed the day of the Lord is at hand. And so, Father, I pray as I speak this morning that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me. I also want to pray for our folks as they listen. May the Word of God stir their souls. May it draw us into a closer walk of fellowship. May we leave here this morning rejoicing because of what we have allowed you to do in our hearts. Bless now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God, who inspired the Scriptures, used the conditions of the nation during Joel's day and made parallels from that day to the last days and the days of the second coming of Christ. There have been times through the years where, as pastor of the Church of the Open Door, I have called a few special meetings for various matters. Normally, in the course of a year, we have one business meeting, and in that business meeting, we present a budget and we present the officers for the upcoming year. And normally, one business meeting is all we have. Now, sometimes it is incumbent upon us to call another special meeting because we see a need, and that need requires your approval to spend the money to meet that need. We will call a special meeting for that. And sometimes I have made an announcement in church and I've said something like this. I need to see all the members of the council in my office after the service. And so we'll go back and I'll present to them whatever it is that has come up. And usually it's to get their to inform them of a situation or so they can pray or to get their advice on how to handle a situation. But many times through the years, I have announced that that I need to meet with the council after church. Now, sometimes we have had someone with physical health issues, and we have called a day of prayer and fasting, and we've asked our folks to come and to get on their faces before God at your own schedule. But we set aside a 24-hour period. You folks did that for me back in 2010. And then we did it just a few years ago for Pastor Josh when they could not figure out what was going on with his health. So calling a special meeting is, when you think about it, it is not unheard of. We have done it many, many times here. Sometimes you are aware of it. Sometimes you are not. Well, Israel was going through some very difficult and tragic times as a nation, and Joel was the prophet during this time of trial and difficulty. And Joel did the right thing during the time of crisis by calling a special meeting. He did the right thing, and he called the people together to fast and to meet with God. And I would sure love to see churches across our nation call a special meeting and turn to God during this time of crisis that we are facing in our nation. We have the pandemic that is still on the rampage across our country. The media is now trying to convince us that the virus is slowing down and that everything is improving, but there's really not a whole lot of evidence to support that. It may be softening in an area, a couple of areas or two, but it is certainly not slowing down, and we should not let our guard down yet. And so, in my opinion, that's the media trying to wag the dog and make it appear that now that the Democrats are in power, they are fixing our problem. No, they're not. No, they're not. And I'm telling you, folks, don't mess with this virus. Then we have this vast political divide in our country. America is right now facing some of the most serious times that our country has faced since the Civil War. There has never been as great a divide as there is right now. I have said to you many, many times through the years that liberalism is like a cancer in a capitalistic society. It is like a cancer that just eats away. I told you folks back in November, and I still stand by it. I believe it with all my heart, but I cannot understand, I cannot believe, let me say it that way, I cannot believe that the American people chose liberalism, socialism, or communism on November the 3rd, or on December the 6th. I just do not believe that that is what we chose. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying somebody cheated. I'm saying that somebody cheated, and the evidence is there to prove that somebody cheated, but you cannot find a man of character anywhere down in Washington, D.C. these days, who is willing to stand up and reveal the character of that swamp. And folks, listen, I know that rattles some of your cages, but maybe your cage needs rattled. I don't know. I just don't know. But I just do not believe in my heart that America chose a senile man who was sheltered the entire election process from the public, the entire election process hidden away in the basement. I just don't think that America chose a man, listen to me now, you check the record, who has been on the wrong side of every major decision in the last 50 years. I just don't believe that America chose what we've got. Now, you can call me names all you want. I really don't care. I really don't. You can call me a bigot. You can call me a racist. You can call me a xenophobe. I don't even know what that is. You can call me any other name or a whole bunch of them strung together. Doesn't matter to me. But I just don't believe that the American people sat in their living rooms and said, you know, I want higher taxes. I want to pay through the nose for the fuel that I put in my car. I want to pay higher electric bills. You know, I want fewer jobs in our country. You know, I want a stagnant and failing economy. I don't think the American people sat in their living rooms, looked at one another and said, I think we need to get back to that famous Obama policy where we paid those that hate us to like us. I mean, it works so well. Now, I don't think anybody said that. I just do not think that any American sitting in around their kitchen table said in a family discussion, I am so looking forward to this new administration because they're going to take my tax dollars and murder babies with it. And not just here in America, they're going to send it overseas and murder babies over there too. Oh, I can't wait. No, I don't think Americans said that. And folks, I'm just here today to let you know something in the milk ain't clean. That's page one. So I think you can see, folks, here's my point. I think you can see that America has a lot to pray about. I think you can see that America has a lot to pray about. We're in trouble, folks. America needs to have a special meeting, and we need to get ourselves where we need to be. You say, well, where's that, Pastor? Right with God. That's what we need. Now, I want to show you four things this morning. Let me take my watch off so I don't burn your dinner. Number one. Here we go. I got four things I want you to see. First, we can see the prompting of the meeting. The prompting of the meeting. The first question that we need to ask ourselves is, what prompted this meeting to be called? Why did Joel feel it so important to call a meeting such as this? Well, it was the condition of the land that prompted the call. You see, in the first part of this chapter, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of it for you, but in the first part, specifically, if you look at verse 3 and verse 4, in the first part of this chapter, we read how the locusts came upon the land, and when they did, they just devoured everything. They devoured everything. If you look at verse 6, you will see Joel says that the land was invaded by a nation. By a nation. You say, well, what nation was that? It was a nation of locusts. And it just devoured the land. It came and it devoured everything. He said that those locusts, that nation of locusts, had the teeth of a lion. And they came and destroyed everything in their path. Joel says in verse 7, that the locusts laid waste to the vine and to the fig trees and just simply stripped everything. Back in verse 4, he said that what the locusts did not eat, the canker worm ate. And then he said what the locusts didn't eat and what the canker worm didn't eat, the caterpillar came and ate. The point is, folks, the nation of Israel found itself in great trouble. And if God, here's what they're saying, Lord, if you don't intervene, God, if you don't intervene, there is going to be a famine and our people are going to be destroyed. So, God, you've got to do something. So my point is, Israel was in big trouble as a nation. They were certainly in a terrible and desperate condition. So what do? Well, Joel said that the people need to have a special meeting and call upon the Lord. And now, folks, here we are in 2021 in America, and just like Israel was physically in trouble, and they were physically in trouble because they were spiritually away from God. Judgment was upon them. Man, I wonder, is judgment upon America? I believe it is. I believe it is with all my heart. You don't murder 60 million babies and not have a price to pay for that. You don't do it. And Joel said that the people need to have a special meeting and call upon the Lord. What are we going to do, America? What are we going to do? Well, certainly not what we have been doing, that's for sure. What are we going to do? I mean, you see, what we have been doing is not working. It is not working. It is so strange how we find ourselves in trouble as a country today, and for some reason, we forsake the assembling of ourselves at the house of God. I personally don't understand that. I'm a little prejudiced in that area. I think everybody ought to go to church. And I'll tell you another thing. I think everybody ought to go to church, the open door. I mean, I'm just a little silly like that. Isn't it strange how we find ourselves in trouble here in America, and yet folks don't want to go to church? You invite them to church, and they don't want to come to church. I went over to the store Thursday, I don't know, one day this week, no, it was Wednesday. It might have been Tuesday. No, it wasn't Monday. I did really go. But anyway, here's the point. I was wearing a suit. I sleep in a suit. I don't know if y'all know that or not. But I was in the store, and I came out, you know, wearing a suit. And there was this elderly gentleman, and he was waiting on me outside. I was over here at We Is. We Is. And he was waiting on me because that door is real narrow, and they'll have the carts right there. And so I looked up, and he was waiting on me, so I went ahead, and when I got out to where he was, he smiled at me, and he said, "You are way overdressed to be at the store." And so I stopped and smiled, and I said, "I didn't know there was a written standard on what you're supposed to wear when you go to the store." And he smiled, and he threw his coat open. He had blue jeans and a T-shirt on. He said, "You're supposed to wear this." And then he said, "Why are you so dressed up?" And I said, "Well, let me tell you." And so I told him that I was the pastor at the church, the Open Door. He said, "Oh, that's that big old church right over the hill there." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" He said, no. And so I said, "Why don't you come and visit us? We'd love to have you." And he said, "Well, I don't go to church." And I said, "Well, change that. How's not going to church working for you?" Man, you'd have thought I said, "Shall we pray?" Because the head went down like he was praying. Folks don't want to go to church today. Oh, they want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? Oh, it's so strange. We find ourselves in trouble, and yet we run away from God. Instead of running to God, we run away from God. And that's our nation today. We just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Our churches are getting worse. Our churches are just like Paul described when he wrote to Timothy and said that they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Man, that's our churches today. The nation is just getting further and further away from the Lord, and more liberal and more contemporary, and our churches are getting worldly, and sin abounds in our land. We've got scars all over our land today from school shootings and mass killings and these poor sick people who ought to be getting mental health instead of just turned out on the street where they can go and kill people. So I believe it's time for the church to call some special meetings so we can get right with God. I mean, the truth is, the church all across the country is sick. It is sick with unbelief, and it is sick with rebellion against the Word of God, and we are denying the very doctrines that were used to establish the church in strength. I don't understand that. And it's time to call a meeting. It's time to call a solemn assembly. It's time to cry to the Lord for forgiveness. We need to wake up, America. Second thing I want you to see here. I want you to see the place of the meeting. Look at your Bible. Look at that 14th verse. What'd Joel say? He said the place of the meeting was in the house of God. In the house of the Lord. Man, I like that. The house of the Lord. Now, back in Old Testament times, the house of God was the temple, the place where the Ark of the Covenant sat in the Holy of Holies. And it was the place where once a year the high priest met with Jehovah God to offer a lamb for the sins of the people. But today, now don't misunderstand, today the house of God is in the local church. This is the house of God today. This building you're sitting in, this is the house of God. You are the house of God. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, we need to realize that the house of God is an important place. But you know, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks, listen to me this morning. We don't need to be trying to change the church. We need the church to be changing us. That's right. That's right. We need to bring the world aware that Jesus saves, and not bring the world in to squash the fact that Jesus saves. I mean, we don't need to bring the world into the church. We need to preach the Bible with such fire and conviction that it drives the world out. The world doesn't want to be around that church that is preaching the Bible. And our pulpits need to get back to preaching instead of pandering. And that's what this whole contemporary movement is about, pandering to people. The truth is, people do not need to be reminded how wonderful they are. They need to be reminded that sin is a reproach to any people. We need to call us a meeting in the house of the Lord and hear the word of God and then cry unto the Lord. That's what's needed. Now listen very carefully. The place of the meeting emphasized the cause for the meeting. All right, now let me explain that. Let me say it again, and then I'll explain it. The place of the meeting emphasized the cause for the meeting. You see, the place for the meeting was the house of God. But the cause for the meeting was simply this. It was so the people could get right with their God. You see, it is against God and against God alone that we have all offended with our sin. We've offended God with our sin. And God would have us come to meet with him in his house and simply get our sins forgiven as we cry unto him for forgiveness. But it also emphasized where help could be found. Where it could be found. You see, our help can only be found in God. Joel is showing us that the only solution to the condition of the country was a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival. Oh, how we need an awakening in America. We need revival in our churches. We need revival in our families. We need revival in our own hearts. And that must begin with the individual. Then thirdly, I want you to notice the people for the meeting. Look at verse 14 again. Look at your Bible. What did Joel say? Well, he said, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord. So what do we see here? What do we see? Well, we see two groups of folks that are mentioned. First, the inhabitants of the land. In other words, the people. Just the people. The common folks. Joel says, hey, all you average folks out there, come to the house of God and get your heart right. Hey, all you folks out there struggling, come to the house of the Lord and get your heart right with God. They were to come to the temple and cry out to God. The average man, the average woman, the average teenager, the average child. Joel's cry is for everyone to come and meet with God. But notice, the call also went out to the elders. Now, who are the elders? Well, they were the folks who were spiritually the leaders of the people. And I ought to put that in quotations. They were spiritually, quotations, the leaders of the people. They might have been, a rabbi, or maybe a pastor in a synagogue, maybe a scribe, maybe a prophet. You see, it is a call to those who had earned a place of position among the people. And you know, often it's these folks who almost feel like they are exempt from the meeting. Why is that? Why is that? Often these folks feel like they are exempt from such a meeting. I mean, sadly, many of these folks feel themselves to be above such matters. Oh, they would certainly be in favor of the inhabitants of the land getting right with God, but it is often difficult for those who feel that they are above the everybody else to lower themselves and get down in the dust with God. So we need to have a special meeting, don't we? Through the years, I probably shouldn't tell this. Do what? I started, I can't stop now. Through the years, I've had to let some folks go from the deacon board because they wouldn't come to church. Now you figure that. I said, man, you're a deacon and you don't come to church. That's not going to work. One fellow said, well, we'll change. I hope so, but you're still off the board. You know? It's always amazed me how sometimes we see ourselves exempt. And it ought not be that way. We can have a special meeting, and the first person through the door ought to be the leaders. Now, I assure you, if we had church and one of my staff said, I'm not coming Sunday night. Excuse me? What'd you just say to me? I mean, that plane would crash right there. Right there. It is often this failure to attend that makes the leaders a part of the problem. Selah. Instead of a part of the solution. And then lastly, I want you to notice the program. The program for this special meeting. The program. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 14. Go down to the very last phrase in that 14th verse. The Bible says, here's the program, and cry unto the Lord. Now, folks, think about it for a moment. What was going on here? Famine. Drought. People dying. People wondering how they're going to feed their children. Now, I submit to you that if you woke up one morning and you wondered how you were going to feed your family, and you looked into the face of your starving little children, I'll guarantee you it wouldn't take you very long before you turned to God. I would like to think that then we'd turn to God. Wouldn't it be nice if we turned to God before it got that bad? You see, the purpose of this special meeting was to cry unto the Lord. To cry unto the Lord. The program was not about a picnic in the park. It was not about a ball game. It was not about a picnic. It was not about a gospel sing. Hang on. It was not about swallowing a goldfish. What was on the program? Everybody meeting at the house of God and getting right with God. That was the program. We so often have gotten away from the program for a special meeting. We want to be entertained, don't we? Entertained. I've told you all this, but back in normal times, which seems so long ago now, practically every Sunday, I would look up, and for some reason or another, visitors normally sit right over there or right over there. I don't know why that is. But they come in and sit right over there or right over there. And I cannot tell you in 25 years how many times I have looked back during the congregational singing and I have seen visitors, folks I'd never seen before. And most of the time when we announce a hymn, they're looking around like, what? What's he talking about? And then they see everybody else getting one of them red books out of the, so they grab a red book and so then they start looking to find out what page we're on because they weren't paying attention. And so they find out what page you're on, they turn, and then they're looking around and wondering, where's the band? Where's the drums? They don't have drums in their church. Something wrong. Maybe I missed the real service, and this is the old folks' service. You know? It's an old people's service. I'm now old people. You know, I remember when I was the young guy on the platform. Those days are gone. Preacher friend of mine across the country, he's been getting on, I think he's preaching my sermons is what I think he's doing, but he's been getting on our website and watching the services, not live, but after the fact, during the week. And he texted me the other day and he said, man, you're getting old. Yeah, my friend. I texted him back and told him, and you're ugly. Insult me. I mean, folks, we need to realize that entertainment's not what church is about. Amusement is not what church is about. You know, we want to eat. We want a meeting that will appeal to the fleshly side of us and not the spiritual side of us. And this kind of meeting that Joel was talking about was the kind of meeting where people earnestly sought the Lord. This kind of meeting would have involved repenting of sin. You don't hear much about people repenting of sin any longer. You just don't hear about it. Preacher friend told me about a pastor in his town who had his technology folks set up a system to bring the Super Bowl into their church on Super Bowl night. They showed the Super Bowl on their screen up front of the church. And he called it Super Bowl Sunday night. Food provided. And when he was questioned about it by some friends, here's what he told them. He said that folks were not coming to church because of the virus. So maybe this will stir them to come out to church. My friend, listen, the end does not justify the means. It's never right to do wrong, amen, to get a chance to do right. You know what we need today? Old-fashioned repentance. Folks, I hope you realize that evil is devouring our land. I fear for my grandchildren and what they're going to have to face. Wickedness is eating at the very core of our society. We have lost our conscience in America. We've lost our convictions in America. And we have certainly lost our character in America. And that's why we need to cry unto God for help. These people that are running our nation today, this swamp that is running our nation today, are so focused on social justice, on this never-ending search for equality, which they are never going to find. On this campaign to cram their progressive agenda down the throats of America without one care or concern for the cost or for the compatibility. And folks, I'm telling you, it's not compatible with what America was founded upon. To accomplish their agenda, they've got to destroy our Constitution. And that's what they're trying to do. But the pastors, the evangelists, the missionaries, the preachers, the prophets, the forth-tellers, not foretellers. There are no foretellers today. Everything you need to know is right here in this book. A prophet today is a forth-teller. He preaches the word of God. He tells forth what thus saith the Lord. And what is needed today is for the pastors and the evangelists and the missionaries and the preachers and the prophets to rise up as one and cry out for folks to get to the house of God and cry to the Lord, asking God for forgiveness. Because you see, folks, I want you to understand this now. The only thing that is going to salvage our country is for God to intervene. Amen. And for God to bring His hand of blessing. Amen. Now, folks, let me show you something that we're missing. This is something we're missing. Let me say this and I'm done. We had 8 years, wasn't it 8 years of Reagan? He had 2 terms, right? And boy, everything was great. You remember that? You got a raise, but it wasn't your job that gave you the raise. It was the cut in taxes that gave you the raise. And you noticed it. And the economy was booming. But then what happened? Clinocchio. Bill Clinton. And then we had, just this last time, probably, in my opinion, one of the most conservative presidents we've ever had. Trump was he governed as a conservative. But now, think about this, folks. Your Messiah, sit still. Your Messiah served 4 years, turned this nation's economy, the best economy ever, The media is not going to tell you that. But it was the best economy ever. But now the 4 years went by. Question. Is America any closer to God? Has all of America's problems been fixed? Hey, we had Donald Trump for 4 years. We had a conservative for 4 years. Folks, listen, it just shows us that the answer is not in a politician. It is not in a politician. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer is right here in verse 14. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the preachers. Gather the pastors. Gather the missionaries. Gather the prophets. Gather the evangelists. Get them all together. And not only that, get the inhabitants of the land. Get the lay folks in. Where are we going? Into the house of the Lord. Your God. Donald Trump is not your God. The Republican Party is not your God. God is our God. So get into the house of the Lord, and here it is, here's the program, and cry unto the Lord. That's our answer, folks. Question is America willing? Hey, I got another question. Is the church willing? Let's bow for prayer. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, please. No one looking around. How many of you here this morning will say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need to get the fire burning in my bones again. I need to get my heart right with God, and I know it. I want you to pray for me, Pastor. Would you slip your hand up all over this building this morning?" Amen. Good. Upstairs, how about it? Preacher, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands this morning. God bless all of you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Folks, it has to start with you. All right? It has to start with you. If we just realize how much God wants our fellowship. We would never go another day without reading our Bible or praying. If we just understood how much God wants us to be in fellowship with Him. Now, Father, I pray, thanking you so much for the Word of God speaking to hearts and many, many hands this morning. Thank you, Father, for speaking. I pray now that we will not just hear with our ears, but Father, help us to hear with our hearts this morning. Help us to yield ourselves to you and just do what we know we ought to do. We need to confess sin. We need to be obedient to what you are calling us to do. We need to join the church. We need to follow in believers' baptism. There's a lot of things that are just basic things. But we have allowed the devil to rob us of the blessings of those little basic things. And they end up being a stumbling block, a roadblock to service. So, Father, speak to our hearts this morning. And I pray that the Lord Jesus will be honored and glorified in the decision that we make. In His name we pray. Amen.